Mommy, you wanted to ask a question. Okay. Is there any other question anywhere? Okay. Is it in connection with what we have said? Okay.
Now it affects our relationship with God, right? But while the Holy Spirit is nudging you, telling you you are falling behind, you are doing this, and you still do those things, and in the course of that, you die. Where does your soul go? Where do you go? Are you going to heaven? Are you making it?
Amen. Praise the Lord. I think they have already answered that. Remember, your child is your child. Whether he killed 100 million people. Anytime they ask, who is the mom? They're going to refer to me. God forbid. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reason that person is my child is because I gave birth to that child. There is nothing that separates me from that child. Anytime that person is still my child, whether he does bad or he does good. Is that true? Can we relate to that? So what makes us think that when God gives birth to his own children, when his own children does bad, they cease to be his children, and when they do good, they are now his children? No. If you have the Spirit of Christ in you, if you are born of God, you are a child of God. The only thing, like my beloved pastor answered and then my beloved sister answered, is that you will be in heaven faster than myself. That means God will not, he doesn't have any need of you here. You have opened the door for the devil and you don't have faith enough to resist. Like I gave an example with that, pilot. Just one time, and he had AIDS and he died. He's in heaven. But the thing is that, look at the children, look at the wife that he left behind. You understand what I'm saying? So, nothing separates it from your children, that see your children, come rain, come sunshine, no matter what they do, and you're patiently bearing with them. And my sister answered rightly, that is a process. You don't kill your little baby if he's not able to lift up a pillar. There will come a time when that baby will finally be able to. Then you keep on encouraging that baby. You keep on teaching that baby. That's why the Bible said that God gave us in the church, like my sister over there, the music director for the church too, was saying, God has given us pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints. So till we all come. In fact, let me even read it. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. He said, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? We are the saints. If you have ever met Jesus, the Lord, over your life, the God calls you a saint. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:19, we are no longer strangers nor foreigners. But we are fellow citizens with the saints and we are members of God's household because we've been built on that foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. If you've been built on Christ, you are a saint of God. And the Bible said that God gave some these ones for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, a perfect woman, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So this growth thing is going to continue as you keep on hearing the word of God. What you don't know today, tomorrow you know it. What you don't know tomorrow, next tomorrow you know it. And God is not about to check out on you. If you look at Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 in Amplified, Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, he said, and I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and performing and bringing it to full completion in you. God is not going going to give up on you. He said, the righteous shall fall 7 times and then 7 times he will be lifted up again. Amen? So, God is not going to give up on you. If you fall, he will still come there and be encouraging you to stand. Amen? And he will continue to do that until Jesus calls you home, or you are called home. Until Jesus comes to take us home, or you go home, you know, before Jesus comes. Amen? So, it is important for us to understand that if you are born again, you are a child of God. He said, those who are perfected forever. You've been perfected forever. What made you perfected forever is Jesus Christ. Christ in you. That's the only reason why God is in love with you. That's the only reason why God accepts you. We've been made right with God through the blood that Jesus shed. And when you put your faith in that, automatically it becomes yours. Amen? Is that clear? Okay, but at least it's clear now. Okay, I have so many scriptures for that, but because of time, okay, you can read Hebrews chapter 10, you can read Hebrews chapter 9. I will encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 10. You begin to see there where the Bible said that Jesus will come again, but not for sin again, but it's just to take us home. He's not coming for sin again because he has already dealt with sin by the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. And he's now seated at the right hand of God. Where we read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, say that he's sitting down by the side of the Father is a sign that the work is completed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Is it still in line with what she asked? Just to add to what she said. Okay, please, could you give her the mic?
That Jesus is your Lord, you are born again. But if you denounce Christ, then you're gone. So that's it. Because the righteousness we are claiming is not of ours. That's imputed in us. So that's why we keep looking at it like, if I'm born again and I live in sin and die, I will go to hell. But it's not by our works. Is by declaring that Jesus is Lord. So the day you denounce it and death comes, that's it. Praise God.
It is difficult for you to denounce it. Very, very difficult. Let me tell you, when the Bible talks about, those who, I think it's impossible to restore to faith. It's talking about those who are born again. And you have experienced, there are details to it. I don't want to say, it can be something maybe we might discuss later on at another time so that we can have the scriptures. You must have tasted the good, something of that. I think it's in Hebrews chapter, I don't know whether it's 6 or 4, You must, through you, God might have maybe raised people to the, you have experienced the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. There are so many qualifications before God will even, but not that somebody is born again, and then after some days, they say, me, I'm not born again. I don't want Christ again. There are so many details. So it is impossible for you to even denounce it. You understand? There's a qualification to that. So it's not easy for anyone to denounce that. That somebody prayed and something didn't happen for the person because the person did not really understand how this happened. Say, me, I'm not born again. That's not it. You understand what I'm saying? So that's not it at all. So let's leave up that denouncing or whatever. If you want us, maybe we can deal with that another time. Maybe at our meeting or some other time so that we can get the relevant scriptures. But it is not for us. If you are a child of God, you are born again. You are His permanently. You've been perfected forever through what Jesus Christ did. That you sin is not going to take you to hell. You will still go to the bosom of the Father. The only thing is that you go there faster than us and then watch the gates when we'll be arriving later on. Amen? He said, with long life will I satisfy you. Me, I'm not satisfied yet, so I'm still going to live long and long and long. Amen? All right. Okay. Please give to Mommy.
At the beginning, you said that people can share something. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
That people can share something and also ask questions.
It's a question. If you're sharing something, it's for you to answer a question. That's what we mean by sharing something.
Yes.
Okay. This. Sorry. Ogo, please come and get this thing for you. If you're sharing something,
yes,
what you're sharing has to be to answer a question that is asked. That's what we mean by sharing.
Okay.
And then you either ask a question or you share something in answer to somebody's question. That's what we said.
Okay.
Okay.
I want to add a little bit to when Pastor Chima said, when Pastor Uchi said that we are the light of this world. And I was trying to tell you that my reason for being here is to go away with something. That's why I was making a reference to my going to another denominational women's seminar. And I got away with something. Just like I came here today, I want to leave here with something. And what I got away with was that when she said we are the light of this world, somebody elaborated to us that we are the light of this world and that we should use that light to seek the treasures of God. And that these treasures are the treasures of diamond. He said that that diamond is in the promise that God made that we should ask, seek, and knock. We call that diamonds. And the other treasure he called emeralds. He said that the emeralds that God laid out for us there are the emeralds of wisdom and understanding. And then the rubies are of peace and peace that surpasses everything, especially when it comes to our neighbor, whom he has asked us to love as he has loved us. That's what I got away with from that women's retreat.
Praise the Lord. Mommy, I can see you are just you're bent on trying to share with us what you gather from your own retreat.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
It's not my own.
See, the Bible says that we have this treasure in heaven vessel. The treasure that we have that is talking about is the Spirit of Christ in us. That's it. It is something more than gold. The excellent Spirit of Christ. Think of what God did through Joseph in the Old Testament. How everything that that young guy did flourished. Everywhere he found himself, he was flourishing. Now, compare it with us that are now in a better, covenant. The Spirit of Christ in us. The Bible says something more than gold. We sing it in song. The Spirit of God in the heart of man is something more than gold. It's not about emerald, about diamond, or whatever. We have the Spirit of excellence, the Spirit of God in us. We have God in us. We have Jesus in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have dynamo power in us. What we have, you can't quantify it in monetary terms. That Christ in us, the hope of glory. Can you think of it? That I'm a carrier of God. The God that created the whole universe, heaven and earth, is living in me. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that created the whole universe, heaven and earth, is in me. That it pleased God to dwell in Christ, and Christ is in me, is a great treasure. So it's not about gold or diamond or whatever. It is the Spirit of Christ in us. Christ in us. The hope of glory. In every situation, there's always going to be glory. In every situation, whether it's provision, protection, whatever it is, there is hope of saying, Father, to you be all the glory for this. Because of Christ in us. Amen? So, like you were saying, you say, but the experiential part of it, that's what we were teaching. That we need to allow Christ to dwell in our heart by faith. We need to believe that this is the reality about who we are. That we have these things in us. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians, I think, is it chapter 3, verse 4 or 4, verse 3? Where he says can you didn't get it from me. Second Corinthians, where the Bible said that, he said the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. And then verse 6 of it is what I wanted. I think it's Second Corinthians chapter 3, I think it was 4, verse 6. What did he say in verse 6? No. Then chapter 4, Second Corinthians, is that Second Corinthians? Chapter 4, verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 6. That's what I'm
saying. For God who commanded the light, is that what you want? For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
So, read verse 7.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is the earthen vessel? This is the earthen vessel. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14. Ephesians 1 14. Please, I want us to connect, okay? Ephesians 1 14. You can read it in New King James Version, so it will be simpler there. Ephesians 1 14.
Who is the guarantee of our 13? It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Who,
the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory.
Amen. So, the Holy Spirit of promise that you receive the moment you give your life to Christ is the guarantee of what? Of our inheritance. The guarantee of the fact that everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you until the redemption of the purchased possession. What is the purchased possession? What is the purchased possession? It is important that we know this. The purchased possession is the body with which we are going to be glorified. It has been purchased, but it has not been redeemed. So we are still in this earthen vessel. And this excellent spirit is in this earthen vessel. We are the carriers of God. That's why God wants you to be healthy, so that he can use you more here. And this earthen vessel says, "Is who is the guarantee? He's the guarantee because this flesh drags us into sin from time to time. Before you know it, you're driving and maybe you're rushing somewhere. Somebody says, you stupid man, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You don't even know. We say, oh God, please, do you understand what I'm saying? You didn't set out today. This person is driving sluggishly. So, the Holy Spirit of promise in you is the guarantee that whatever belongs to Jesus, you're still going to enjoy it in spite of your shortcomings. Is a guarantee until the redemption of the purchased possession. And that is why we are encouraged to constantly fellowship with the Word of God. The Bible said that our soul needs to be saved. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotion. Our spirit is saved, is as righteous as Jesus is. The Bible said, as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. As Jesus is, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, so are we in this world. All the power and might that is in Jesus is in you, child of God. Even when you miss it, that power is still in you. So you should be righteousness conscious. You should be conscious of your right standing with the Father, not based on your performance, but based on the Christ that is in you. And you should constantly fellowship with the Word of God. God said in Romans 12, verse 2, that we should, verse 1, he said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Which means, as you keep on fellowshipping with the Word of God, you are able to put this, your flesh, under. and live by your spirit that is born again. So that when your flesh tries to rise up, especially when somebody steps on your toe, you say, shut up, flesh. I have to do it based on what the word said. The Bible says, submit to God. In other words, submit to what the word of God said and resist the devil. He said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. What does it mean? Humble yourself to what the word said. No, humility is not, you know, it's our responsibility to humble ourselves to what the word said. That's to choose to incline to what the word said. So, this flesh drags us into sin from time to time. That's why you have to accommodate your sister, your brother, and make room for them to grow. To the extent to which you fellowship with the word of God is to the extent to which you are able to put this flesh under. And this is going to continue until Jesus comes to take us home. It's not about to stop. So the Bible said, look at Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do what? To build you up and to give you your inheritance among those who are sanctified. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The word of God is what God has given to us for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. The word of God helps us to keep on adjusting in line with the boundaries of the word of God. So, if we look at that, James chapter 1, verse 21. James 1, 21. If you find it, to read for us, please. Okay, said, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to do what? To save your souls. So you see, your spirit is saved, but your soul is not saved. If you're born again, your soul is not saved. If you want your soul to be saved, you have to constantly submit to the word of God. You have to keep on fellowshipping with the word of God. To the extent to which you fellowship with the word of God is to the extent to which your soul will be saved. When we talk about soul saving, we're talking about your mind, will, and emotion lining up with what the word of God said. That is where the problem is. And that is where we give room to the devil. And then it begins to affect our faith, our boldness, and so on. But your spirit is saved. The Bible said that they that believe in him, that they cannot sin. Because his seed remains in them. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. It's talking about your spirit. In your spirit, you cannot sin because your spirit is joined with Christ. In your spirit, but your flesh, mind, will, and emotion, that's your soul. It needs to be saved. And this salvation for soul will continue up until the time Jesus comes to take you home. So you need to constantly fellowship with the word of God so that the word of God will keep on, like Paul said, I put my flesh under. So that you'll be able to allow the word of God to rule over the flesh. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay. So, and then part of the other thing is that it is important for us to know that we have to believe like Abraham. You know, I'll have that scripture and I want us to read it. We have to be persuaded like Abraham. We're talking about fellowshipping with the word of God. We have to be persuaded like Abraham in Romans chapter 4, 17 to 24. The Bible said, hold on, see? The recording on the first tip is 5 minutes. Oh, okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I thought it's a question. All right. So it says, Romans chapter 4, 17 to 24. It says, as it is written, I'm reading in AMPC. In AMPC, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. See, God calls those who that God calls the things that are non-existent as though they exist. So when God said, you were healed, it's a past tense, you were healed. Because in the eyes of God, you were healed. You understand what I'm saying? And then verse 18 says, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. Abraham did not consider. God wants Christ to dwell in our hearts by faith. When you understand what we are saying, you find out that no matter what the situation or the circumstance is, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. I don't care. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by how I feel. These two has come to pass, and you have that inner settled assurance in your heart that these two has come to pass. Abraham chose to focus on the promise. Year after year, I am a father of many nations. Year after year, I'm a father of many nations. That even when God says, sacrifice that your son, after he had him, he went because he knew that God, as far as I go, I'm a father of many nations. He wasn't afraid that this one is going to die and then what God promised is not going to come to pass. So we too should have that assurance in our heart that what God said about us is true. And so we choose to call those things that be not as though they were. Last year when we had a women's retreat, I remember I was telling you what happened to my leg. Even though I was still troubling that leg, I said that this too has come to pass. And it has passed. But it happened for months. But every day I say, my leg, I have good news for you. You were healed by the stripes of Jesus. You don't have any choice. And week after week, month after month, it remained. But finally, I didn't even know how it fizzled out. Praise the Lord. God is faithful to his promises. So verse 20 said, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he has promised. We too should be fully satisfied if the Bible ever said so. That's why we say that faith comes by hearing the word of God. The basis of faith is the word of God. If the word of God ever said it, you can count on it. For God is not a man that he should lie. You can bet on it. It shall surely come to pass. So whatever you're seeing, whatever the visible eye can see is temporarily. It is temporal. That's what the Bible said. It's temporal. It's a matter of time. I wonder how our mommies and our daddies felt about us some years back, whether we were ever going to make it. But here we are today. It shall come to pass. And the Bible said in verse 22, that is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. And he said, it's also for our sake. I don't know if I have that one. I think it's verse 23. So I want you to know that part of our faith is that be fully persuaded. And how do you get fully persuaded? By constantly fellowshipping with the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Put in focus what the word said. Yes? So whatever the word said, you can bet on it. The Bible said, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Choose to stick your neck on what the word said. That's what Abraham did. He was not moved. They say, you know your wife is 100 years. You know your wife has gone beyond the age of bearing children. He couldn't be bothered. The Bible said, he fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and do what he had promised. God is not a man that he should lie. Do you understand? So whatever the world promised concerning your life, concerning your family, concerning your marriage, concerning your children, stick your neck on it. Unless you don't find it in the word. Because we said that the basis of faith is the word of God. If the word ever carried it, you can bet on it. Count it a done deal. Amen. Praise the Lord. Does anybody have anything else to say? Any question? Any question? Okay. So when you have prayed over an issue, it is important for you to now go into thanksgiving. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians, so if you know 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Is it 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Yes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You must never give up on yourself or on any issue you have asked God for. Remember always that the Son of God was made manifest to destroy the works of darkness, and that was the purpose for which he came. And that make it your primary purpose, so that you don't give in to any, don't throw in towel, don't say maybe this is the, it is never, any evil is not the will of God. So don't ever throw in the towel. The devil will resist you, but the Bible says, whom resisted fast in the faith, which means he will try to oppose you, he will make the situation to look worse. Don't look at what you see. We are not moved by what we see. Look at what the word said. What did the word said? Keep it in view. Keep what the word said in view. Meditate on what the word said. Chew it. Have it. You can write it here and there. Look at it. That's how we fight our battles. If you come to my house, I have scriptures all over my wall. Whatever shows up, I go to the relevant scriptures. I have it. Whatever it is, find the relevant scriptures. Put it in view. When I lie down to sleep, if the devil tries to remind me how this issue is, I refocus him on what the word said. But the word said. And that was what Jesus did. When the devil showed up, said, Satan, it is written. And he told us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is by the word of God that we have victory. He said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So we have to keep the word of God in view. Don't ever look at issues based on what your five senses is telling you. Switch to your sixth sense, which is the Holy Spirit. What did the word say? Stick with that one. And the word of God will never return to him void. It will never. That's the promise of the Father. Did you find it? I think I called it. Mm-hmm. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I'll read it in a... AMPC, if you have that. Yes.
Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you, who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and the mediator of that will. For God hath not appointed us to incur his wrath, that's nine. He did not select us to condemn us. Five. This is nine. For God has not appointed us to incur his wrath. He did not select us to condemn us, but that we might obtain his salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit.
Amen. You see what he's saying there? Just give thanks. This too has come to pass. Father, I give you praise. If you don't know what else is, begin to pray in the Spirit. The Bible says, building up your faith on yourself on your most holy feet, praying in the Holy Spirit. The reason why you're praying in the Spirit is maybe you, as you get overwhelmed, you don't know what else is said to do, but at least you have done what the Word said you should do. begin to thank God, bless the name of the Lord, to give him sacrifice of praise. The Bible called it sacrifice of praise because we may not feel like it, but we just keep on thanking God. Say, don't quench the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? The spirit of excellence, the spirit of power, the spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you. And he's the spirit that will help you. He's the power of God that works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He's the power of God in you that will enable those manifestations to show up. You understand what I'm saying? Don't grieve him by thinking otherwise. Don't ever say, maybe God just wants it to be this way. No. If that thing will not bring glory to God, it is not from God. I don't know if you're making the connection. Don't suppress, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you give up. Remember, the Holy Spirit is there to also destroy the works of darkness. For this cause was the Son of God made manifest, to destroy the works of Satan. Stand in agreement with him. Come rain, come sunshine. Weary the devil. I remember my beloved sister, Sinadi's wife, I remember the time when they were trusting God for the fruit of womb. I told her, weary the devil. Don't give up. Don't back down. You're going to have your child. Is she still here? Sinadi's wife? Amen. I remember I called her in there. I said, weary the devil. Herself and her husband. I said, weary the devil. He's a liar. You will have your own baby. I said, the doctors gave up on me. And they said, we should go and adopt children. I said, today I have 4 boys to show him that God is faithful. That God is true to his word. I said, weary the devil. He will try to put pressure on you to tell you that it can't happen. Weary him because God is faithful to his word. And today, she has a son to show for it. God is faithful. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit because his goal is also to destroy the works of darkness. And the power to do that is in you. So you must stand in agreement with God at all times. If you don't know what else to do and you get overwhelmed, begin to praise the name of the Lord. If that is not working, begin to praise in the spirit. But don't ever give up. Don't ever back out. Don't ever back down. God is faithful. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Praise the Lord. Alright, so it is important that we know that everything that Jesus has is ours. It is important for us to always rest in that our sitting position. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, what did he say then? Ephesians 2 6. Yeah. He said, and he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint sitting with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So where are we seated? In heavenly places, far above what? All principalities and powers and might and dominion. That's where Jesus Christ is seated. Ephesians chapter 1. If you begin to read from verse 20-21, the Bible says that God raised him and made him sit together with him in the heavenly places far above all these powers. And God also, Ephesians 2 6 9 says, we are sitting together. It is by our spirit. So you might begin to wonder, how can you say I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, but I'm still here? He's talking about a spiritual thing. You must have to understand that you're as Jesus is, so are you in this world. That's what the Bible said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17b. You can put it up for us. 1 John 4, 17b. The Bible said, as Christ is, so are we in this world. This is the word of God. As he is. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Christ here in this world. We live like Christ. I want you to use New King James Version. What it means is that we are his ambassadors. He finished and he handed over to us. So we are, anywhere you find yourself, you are the Jesus that is there. everything that he has, you have. Amen? So, you know, I want us to really live in the consciousness of who we are. God does not want us to live in the consciousness of performance, sin, because we are still in this earthen vessel. And this thing drags us from sin, because this thing was, kind of polluted by the spirit that was in us before we gave our lives to Christ. So it's already used to this, and this body was given to us so that we'll be able to know when we are feeling hot or when we are feeling cold. My sister was leading us in worship, and all of a sudden she started fanning because she was feeling hot. And if it is raining, you know what to do. So, this house is the house that houses the real us. The real us is our born-again spirit. If you look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Colossians, please can you use New King James Version? Colossians 3:3, it says, is anybody there? Okay, she's not there.
For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think 14 or 15 says that if one died, then all died. So because Jesus Christ died, the death that he died was for all of us. So it means that we are already dead to sin. So he's saying here that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And then verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life. So if Christ is my life, it behooves me to now spend time to study about him. Everything about him is me. Everything about him is me. So whatever I see him doing is what I can do. So when the Bible says these signs follow them that believe, and those signs follow Jesus Christ, they are also my portion. You understand it? Praise the Lord. Does anybody have any question? Is there any aspect of what we are sharing that you need us to throw more light? Because remember what we said. God wants us to experience this thing. It is the experiential aspect of it that he wants from us. God wants to take glory from your life. God does not delight in the sufferings of his children when already he provided adequately for us. He wants us to experientially enjoy these things. So, and this thing begins to happen when you have the knowing. I mean, if I know that what I'm looking for is here and I have this thing, then my mind will be at rest. You understand what I'm saying? So God wants us to experientially begin to have these things happen to us. He doesn't want it to become a head knowledge and we say, my God is a good God. Yes, they have a very big God, a very big God. And yet we are not seeing him big in our life issues. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why understanding is very, very important. And that's why we're going to pray that prayer that God will grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened so that everything that is ours will begin to really experience it. Amen? Does anybody have any question? Yes, Mama? Who has the mic? Alice, Sister Alice, could you please help me give this to Mama?
My question is, as you are teaching that we are carrier of God, and if we gather together now, I say that I will talk to God or pray, or I be calling God, come, or Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you if you come. God, come. I want to throw light for that thing.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you. Thank you, Mama. That's a very good question that I felt I said I was going to ask that question. Does anybody have an answer to it? Anybody? Okay, Sister Meg wants to say something.
The level that I know, and from what I've heard from our senior pastor, you know, Christ is in us, which is the hope of glory. So why you start praying? Why are you asking Christ to come to you or to come? Why Christ is 24 hours with us? So where is he coming from? He is in you already. So when you are praying, just know that you reflect the image of Christ, or that Christ is in you, which is the hope of glory.
Amen. Wonderful. Does anybody have something else? Somebody at the back wants to say something.
So what I kind of want to add is, I agree with what Auntie Meg said, right? We have the Holy Spirit in the inside of us, so he's already with us. But I remember one time Pastor preached about the manifest presence of God, so that there are different, like, types of the presence of God. So there is that presence of God that is made manifest, like, when we gather, as a group. So, I mean, again, I also agree with what our senior pastor has said before about, you know, we shouldn't say, come Holy Spirit, because when we're two or more are gathered, he's already there. But I think there's also that aspect of, you know, like, you know how the Holy Spirit is inside of you all the time, but sometimes you may not be mindful of him. You may not be paying him any mind, like you're not in tune to him. You're not listening, you know, like you're carried away. So sometimes I think that what people mean when they sing songs like that is more so, okay, I'm truly going to focus on you now, really do that, which only you can do, like opening your heart up to, for God to really work, and like letting go of everything else, and like honing in into the Spirit that is inside of them, and trying to connect that to the Spirit of God.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So, you know, so it is wrong for you to ask God to come, because he promised, or we read it, no, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So why will you ask him to come? And we are the church, and the Holy Spirit is in you. So anywhere you gather, even if you are the only one there, the Spirit of Christ is in you. He's already there. He's with you. Amen? But I guess, you know, maybe you might be asking, Father, we are asking for the manifest presence of your power. Let that power that is in me manifest on the outside. That's what my beloved daughter is saying. You can be asking for the manifest presence of your power, but you don't have to ask God, come. We ask that you will come and be with us. He's already with you. It means that you're saying, God, I don't believe what you say that you're with me. I don't believe what Jesus did. So I'm asking you to come. Then that's the Old Testament deal. So it is important that the moment you come to pray, Father, we give you praise because you are here. Father, we thank you because you have assured us that wherever two or three are gathered together in the name of those who are there. So we worship you, we magnify your name. You are here, you are with us, you are in us, you are for us. You understand? He's with us. And he's not about to check out, like I said. So it is wrong for you to ask him to come when he already said he's there. Or otherwise, you'll be making him a liar. And then, you know, sometimes we say, Father, we are asking, so we say we bind the spirit of distraction. There's nothing like that. It's either you choose to pay attention or you don't want to pay attention. You understand what I'm saying? But you can encourage people, I'm encouraging you to pay attention. But there's nothing like spirit of distraction, spirit of buying and selling. What does that mean? There's nothing like that. Amen. So these are some of the wrong things that we say, and some of the songs that we sing. You know, we say, Holy Spirit, thou welcome in this place. Why will you welcome him when he's already in you? The Bible, like she said, where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus, I'm there. Why will you be asking, telling him you're welcome? So in other words, he's a visitor. So he hasn't been with you. Now that you're in church, he's with you. So what happens when you're in the home? What happens when you're in the toilet? He's there with you 24/7. There are so many things that we say, and it makes us have a goose pimple, but they don't have any scriptural basis. But you know, you just keep on being patient with people and you keep on teaching. You know, like the Bible says, we have to ask in the name of Jesus. If some people will say, Father God, we're asking you to do this, you're asking God. Yes, you ask God, but you have to ask in the name of Jesus. God, he said, once you ask in the name of Jesus, it will be done for you. But when you're binding, you have to take authority over whatever it is in the name of Jesus. You're not asking God. You only ask God when it is not an issue that is wrong, where you have to take your authority as a believer. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. There's a difference between taking authority and then asking God something. For instance, something you don't know the will of God about. For instance, you don't know what the will of God is for you in marriage. Of course, you know that the will of God is for you to marry from among the family of God. And then among those who are in the family of God, which one of them is now the one that you want, that God wants for you? You don't know. So, Father, I'm asking, the Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by you. I trust you, and I'm the sheep of your pasture. I hear your voice, and I will follow your voice. As you lead me, I will hear, I will understand. And I give you praise, I will follow the inward peace. The one that gives peace in my heart, that's the one I will follow, because that's what you told me, that you will lead me by inward peace. And you go by that. Praise the Lord. Okay, yes. Can you give her the mic, please?
I think it's in Ephesians 5:19, where it said we should not quench the Holy Spirit. My question is, how do we quench the Holy Spirit?
When you're doubting what the Word said, when you're not walking in agreement with what the Word said, how will the Holy Spirit come in? You make room for him to operate when you choose to stick with what the Word said. Your circumstances might not line up with what the Word said, but you choose to stick with what the Word said in spite of those circumstances, then you are making room for the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 8, as well, the Holy Spirit helps us because we don't know what to pray as we ought to pray. Maybe we are praying wrong. You say, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then he said, and we know that all things work together for our good, who are called according to his purpose. By you choosing to stick with what the Word said and resisting the devil, you are serving the purpose of God, because his purpose is to destroy the works of darkness. And you are choosing not to give and say, devil, you're a liar. The Word of God will. And the Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will not return unto him void. So, you are not grieving the Holy Spirit when you choose to line up with what the Word said in spite of what your circumstances are saying. And as you keep praying in the Holy Spirit, those things will work out finally. Find out that at the end of it, God will be glorified. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes? Okay. Can we have the mic, please?
Tell us what is the difference. They say, ask in the name of Jesus. What is different for asking in the name of Jesus or for Christ's sake?
Amen. Praise the Lord. See, there's nowhere the Bible says we should ask for Christ's sake. When you're asking, if I'm asking for my sister's sake, I'm asking you to do something for my sister. Do you understand? Please help me and do it for her sake. You know, that will favor her. Even though I'm the one asking, but it is for her use. So you are not asking for Christ's sake. It is in Christ that we receive the glory. So the Bible said, we should ask. Let's open to it. You know, John chapter 16, verse 23. So the Bible said that, and in that day you will ask me nothing. What is that day? After his resurrection. Before his resurrection, they were there with him. Whatever they needed, they asked from him because they could see him face to face. Do you understand? Because they could see him face to face, they could relate with him, they could ask him directly. But he now says, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. You have asked nothing in my name because you've been asking from me. You have not been asking in my name, but you have been asking directly from me. He said, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Verse 25 says, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. 26, in that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. See, Jesus is saying, I'm not going to be praying the Father for you, but you will ask the Father in my name. 27, for the Father himself does what? Loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. So because I have gone to the Father, I am now living in you. You can now come to the Father in my name. Which means, Father, I come before you. Jesus is my qualification. I don't merit to stand before you because I have not performed well. But Jesus has performed well, and he is the reason I am in right standing with you. Because he has made peace between you and me, he has allowed me to come boldly before you, so I am asking for what I need in his name. Do you understand it? So that is asking in his name. But again, it's different from what we have in John chapter 14, verse 12. He said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than this he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I, Jesus Christ, will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I, Jesus, will do it. That is when you are taking authority, demanding your right, especially when it comes to sickness. Hey, you pain, in Jesus' name, I command you, be gone. And you, body, line up with the health of Jesus that is in you. Body, you are healed in Jesus' name. So you are demanding your right in the name of, that's when you're taking authority. But when you're asking from the Father, you're asking in the name of Jesus. Do you understand it? There are two different things. You ask from the Father, but in the name of Jesus as your qualification. But you demand your right from what the devil is trying to steal from you. It could be your money. It could be your job. It could be your health. It could be the health of your job, your loved ones. You take authority over him. And Jesus said, the moment you demand in my name, I've already defeated him. I will make sure he responds. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. Okay. Somebody wanted to hear. Yes. Sister Nadika.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I have a question about this calling of the Holy Spirit, or God come to us, or the Holy Spirit coming to us. I know as a child of God that once we are born again, we have the Spirit of God in us, and the Spirit lives in us. But my question goes, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that says the different gift of the Spirit that the Lord has apportioned to every born again Christian, which includes the
from what verse?
1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 4, says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of spirit, of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. 7 says, the spiritual gift is given to us, to each of us, so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, which is wisdom. To another, the Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. I'm reading from NLT. And the other, the same Spirit gives the great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. And he gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message from God. I mean, continue.
So what's your question?
My question is, now, if the Spirit is the one that gives all these things, as a child of God, now we know that we have this Spirit in us, but not everybody has that same gift. Now, do we call on the Spirit to give us this gift, or God just apportioned it to each and every one of us? My other question is this. I know as a child of God, some have seen where people will start praying, and they say, now I decree, let God increase. It is not me, but God is the one that is speaking right now. Holy Spirit, take control. Is it not the same as calling the Holy Spirit or telling God to take control? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking.
Somebody says I increase and let God increase.
Yes, that's what I've had someone say such a prayer.
Well, the thing about that one is that, I mean, the Bible said if anyone speaks, let him speak as an oracle of God. You don't even need to make that declaration before anybody. Because, I mean, before you even, like those of us that preach, I mean, you would have been praying and asking God, what do you want me to share? Whatever he puts in your heart, you have to, it is still by faith. I have to believe that this is what, like me that is in Minnesota, Nova Scotia, they say, what is the thing? I have to keep on praying. And then sometimes something will resonate here. And if I have peace about that, I will just believe that this is what God is inspiring us to discuss. That's how it comes. It's not that God comes and says, Dorothy, I want you to talk about this. No, it doesn't come that way. You understand? So, we already know that the more, like we said, the more you fellowship with the Word of God, effortlessly, the more the flesh is put under, and the Spirit, that is what lines up with the Word of God, is seen manifesting through your life. That's how you decrease. It's for you, that's why we're talking about soul salvation. As you keep on fellowshipping with the Word of God, your soul, your mind will and emotion begins to line up better and better with what the Word says. You become, you know, like some, there are some people that are, they have high maintenance value, you know, okay, what is it? You know, they're easily, you know, they're not easily entreated, difficult to deal with. But you give them room. As they keep fellowshipping with the Word of God, they keep on changing from one level of glory to another level of glory. That's what we mean by decreasing and Christ increasing. The more they fellowship with the Word of God, it is the Word of God that changes you. So you find that more and more of Christ, of the alabaster box, of the beauty of Christ, of the excellent Spirit in you, is allowed to ooze out through you so that your life begins to bless others around you. Amen? And then, you don't have to. What you do, what is the solution to it? The Word of God. We said that. Paul said, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. And we also read that our soul is saved by the implanted Word. You understand? So, the Word of God is given to us for correction, for reproof, for instruction. It is the Word that does that. God is the one that builds us. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4. And He builds us by His Word. It is His Word. That's why we keep on coming. The things you heard today, tomorrow you come again, you're still hearing the same thing. So you find out that you might understand it better tomorrow. Then you come next tomorrow, you understand it better. That's how it happens. And you keep on adjusting. Our walk with God is a course correction. You know, as you keep hearing, you keep on adjusting. You keep hearing, you keep on adjusting. Amen? And then, Romans chapter 12 is talking about, because of our time, let me just quickly finish with that. Romans chapter 12 is talking about the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. And the Bible said that God gave this gift to all of us. As the Spirit wills. Like here, as we begin to pray, that's why in our women's ministry now, we keep on saying, does anybody have anything from God? That's the manifestations of the gift. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of word of knowledge, the gift of word of wisdom, the gift of discerning of spirit, the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, gifts of diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation. There are 9 of them. If you begin to read them from that Romans chapter 12, I think it's from verse 7, you see that all of these are given by the same Spirit, that all may profit without, that all may profit without, but it's as the Spirit wills. So maybe today, God might manifest the gift of word of knowledge through her. Maybe tomorrow, you know, she might manifest gift of prophecy. Maybe today she might, do you understand? As the Spirit wills, it can happen through any of us. That's why we should all be sensitive in this. Anywhere children of God gathers, it is important that we tune in. So that whatever the Spirit of God is saying, God can use you to say something that will encourage your sister or your brother, or encourage all of us. That's why we're talking about the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. There was a time our senior pastor took time here and taught us on these gifts and was encouraging us that we should covet these spiritual gifts because it is for the help of the body. You can imagine what happens if something is good. I don't forget one day, a lady in this church, she was pregnant and God showed her to me. I saw her, she was lying down on her husband's lap and she was crying. And I was wondering. So I went over to her and I said, my sister, all is well. All is well. You don't need to worry. All is well. So I was wondering, what did that mean? And then she cleaned her eyes. And then lo and behold, we came to church and they were worshiping. I just saw the same sister and I saw her crying. And I went over to where she was. I took her out and I brought her to the altar. And I said to her, my dear, all is well. And she cleaned her eyes. And then later on, she sent me a text. And she said, Pastor Dorothy, thank you so much. Did you know last night I didn't sleep? I was crying. Something was troubling my stomach. And I was pregnant. And then my husband had to be awake. And I was just resting on his my head on his lap. That was word of knowledge. And you know, the moment I said to her, all is well, she took my word from me and she stopped crying. And she said, do you know that after I stepped out from the altar, those things stopped? This is what should be manifesting through any of us. It is not for pastors, it is for any of us. As a Spirit wills, then you should desire that God should use you to be a blessing. You should covet it. That's what the Bible says we should do. Desire the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. You can imagine if somebody comes here and you tell that person with a problem, like my senior pastor will sometimes say, there is somebody here, so and so. And some of them will come to you and say, look, oh, this is me. And you know what it does? It buttresses your faith. You say, God saw me in this condition. And the kind of, and the, what does it mean? Their faith shoots up and it is by their faith they receive. They connect and that thing is resolved. Praise the Lord. So that's it. I think we are done for the day because we are supposed to stand at 4, so we can now pray and then wrap up. Okay? Praise the Lord. Are you blessed? Praise the Lord.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.